The woman's seed. Our Father has always had a plan long before this earth age even began. And that plan, ultimately, because there was a great disruption in the first earth age, was that we could take care of that. So he intends to send the Prince of Peace, whereby he can destroy all of our enemies, that is to say, those that whosoever will believes, whosoever doesn't, they're gone, they're out of here. Then we have the peace. It is the woman's seed. I know that's a little different than, but that's reality, my friends. That's what it's all about. As it is written in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14, Christ came to the world to destroy death, which is to say Satan, and all those that participate in death by, as it is written in Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 18 and 19, that Satan himself shall be destroyed from within, turned to ashes. Then there will be peace, as it is written. So never try to sweep things under the rug, and never think our Father is unfair, or you're sadly mistaken. You know, many might say, well, I don't like the idea of people going to hell. Well, let me ask you something. Do you have children? Have you ever seen a bully just start beating on one of them, even threatening its life? What are you going to do? That doesn't go down too well. So our Father loves his children, and he's going to protect them. So in the beginning, the very seed started when the controversy began. And yes, we will get to that part where a woman, a virgin, will conceive through that seed that you are to know and understand, which is the key of David that unlocks locks that other people cannot comprehend. But you can when you have that truth. So, with that having been said, let's go to the very beginning. The first major prophecy given in the Word of God, Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. Turn there if you will. Most of you can probably quote it from memory. Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, and it reads, after Eve and Adam had both fell under the spell of Lucifer, the serpent, the dragon, the devil, by whatever name you wish to call him, God makes this prophecy, and it was, he knew from the beginning this prophecy would no doubt have to be made. And it reads, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Now this word bruise, actually, his head, can be translated break. All right? So ultimately, that's what it would come down to, is Christ is going to break Satan's head. Now that's spiritually speaking, of course. He's going to be destroyed. Why? So that we can have peace. So there's no more pain. So there's no more disobedience. And truly, the Prince of Peace can bring peace to the world ultimately when that's done. Does that mean you cannot have peace today? No, quite the contrary. For in that seed, that woman's seed, which is to say Christ, you can have that peace today, peace of mind, rest in your heart, whereby you know and understand what tomorrow brings. For mankind only dreads the unknown. And once you come to full knowledge from your Father's Word, you see, many people call the Bible, well, that's the Bible. No, it's a letter written to you personally, telling you how to keep your act together if you want blessings. Or you can be in those whosoever's that don't. That's entirely up to you. Don't try to blame it on anyone else. The decision is yours. It was yours coming out the gate. You always make your own mind up. Even if there is bad input, as intelligent as you are, you know how to correct that part and then make your own decision. And let it be choice. Let it be for a higher quality life, that you know and understand the letter your Father has written to you. So there's nothing hidden if you'll stay in His Word. That's what He said. Hey, there is a controversy between that serpent and myself, and I'm going to put enmity. That means they're not going to be able to get along real good. There's going to be problems there. But naturally, He, knowing that He gives His children that love Him and believe Him power and authority over anything that would come against them. All your enemies, that covers it all. That's all that need be said. I don't know, you can claim it or you can say, oh, shaw. It's up to you. You can be in control or you can be out of control. It's your choice. Your life. You do with it as you choose. Now, back to the subject, the woman's seed. And let's go to Deuteronomy while we're here in the Old Testament, 18. Deuteronomy chapter 18. God's promises concerning this woman. You don't want to miss any of them. And what would come from her and through her. Verse 15 of Deuteronomy chapter 18, and it reads, "The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee." It's going to be one of you. "Of thy brethren like unto me. Unto him ye shall hearken." You listen to him. I'm going to raise that prophet up. Who's it speaking of? Christ, of course. And inasmuch as man wanted an earthly king, and what this is kind of on religion. This particular chapter is kind of addressed to the priests and the Levites, those that are supposed to be shepherds of the flock, feeding people with the knowledge of what Father saith. And actually, he said, going to come from the midst of thee, and indicating, let us make man in our image. Okay? Connected, verse 16. "According to all that thou desirest of the Lord thy God in Horeb, the desert, in the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, neither let me see his great fire anymore, that I die not." In other words, man, when he actually visited the foot of the mount and heard the commotion of God's control, it frightened him. So God says, "I'm going to send someone cut down to your size." And naturally, again, we're talking about Yeshua, Messiah. Verse 17. "And the Lord said unto me, they have well spoken that which they have spoken." Verse 18, "I will." In other words, they were afraid of me. They spoke it. It was obvious. It was genuine from their heart. All right. 18, "I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee, and will put my words," whose? "My words in his mouth." What? The living word, of course. "And he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him." In other words, God in control. That's what you want in your life. And verse 19, "And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not," I repeat, in other words, the subject led up here, you've got some false teachers in your area, in your groups, all right? "And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him." He's going to answer for it. And we all are someday. Do you think any of us are perfect enough that there won't be something on your record, even with repentance? Well, I wouldn't be surprised. You know what I mean? Christ forgives all, but we're certainly not perfect. 20. "But the prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name, pretends to," a little bit ignorant, but trying, all right, or someone trying to make a name for themselves that presumes to speak in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of other gods, note the lower case, even that prophet shall die. That's what it's about, the separation. Father doesn't like phonies, okay? So if you ever decide to pick the word up to teach others, do your best to do your homework, dig deep, study long. And I'm not talking about someone that might just say, you know what I heard, I plant this seed. You know, this is my opinion. And many times even on television you might hear me say, now don't ask me for a documentation on that, this is my opinion. We all have that right, and perhaps we grow somewhat in that, but take it for no more than that. It's only an opinion. But if we're studying God's word and God is the one that said it, if I were you, I'd count on it, because that's exactly how it's going to come to pass. Our Father is very fair, and through this woman's seed, we have the millennium age that all people, I don't care what race, color, kindred, it doesn't matter. They're all going to know the truth as many know it today. And many of them maybe even worship in other religions. That's fine. Don't get all bent out of shape because of that. Our Father is fair. They are His children, and this is the time of teaching, but the millennium even more so. So here we have the promise from the Old Testament of that prophet, that woman's seed whom Satan would bruise his heel, being the piercing to the cross, as far as I'm concerned. And we learn, if you listen to your father's advice. Now there was a time in the great book of Matthew, I'll just pull from the New Testament here for a moment, that Jesus stated, out of the mouths of babes. Have you read it? Have you read? Meaning what? It's written in the Old Testament. Out of the mouth of what babe? Well, he was talking and quoting Psalms 8:2. Where it stipulates, out of the mouths of babes, and let me just paraphrase to where it will call to mind, you will know how to defeat the enemy. In other words, you're not going to get it from someone that is so steeped in traditions that they kind of lose their way, but out of the mouths of babes. But ultimately it was leading to one babe, one very young person, who was of that seed through whom Yeshua would come. As it is written in the great book of Isaiah, out of the root of Jesse. And so it is. But here, out of the root of Jesse, naturally came David. And he was only a young lad. He was 12 years old. He was a babe. Had no, you know, we would say today, don't let him go out on the battlefield. But you see, he had something. He knew who was going to fight that battle. This woman's seed, this very precious seed that holds that key, David, he that was anointed when all the muscular, tall boys were brought forth, and the father says, oh yes, this surely is the one that he wants to anoint. This is not them. Well, I've only got that little old boy back out there in the hills watching the sheep. That's the one, bring him. See, God does the choosing. Sometimes you want to listen, he might choose you. There's more written in God's word than we human beings are able to absorb, so at least try and dig, do your best. And whatever you decide, hey, that's fine with this boy, you know, but you will answer, so make sure, be sure, and be comfortable. Be happy. That's the main, one of the main things in your decisions. So I was speaking with a rabbi yesterday, and he said, comes from a different part of the country, and he said, you know, I wake up early, and we have a lot of early times bought on 250 stations all around the nation. He said, I get an uplifting listening to you. So you see, when you teach God's word as it's written, it blesses everybody because he's mature enough naturally to know where we would choose to disagree, and that's fine. It doesn't bother him, doesn't bother me. Okay? And but God's word is uplifting. It will uplift you. And you know, if I ever get to think that I'm put upon or something, I like to turn where we're going now to 1 Samuel and see what came out of the mouth of that babe, because that's what Christ wanted you to pick up on, that out of that babe's mouth. And let's do, if we may, turn to 1 Samuel. And let's go to chapter 17. And what has happened here? The Philistines have a champion, and he's a big one. All right, he's called Goliath. He's a whopper. We just won't call him a big one. He was a whopper. I mean, when he walked, the ground shook. And he was taunting the army of Israel, saying, "Send out your champion that we may do battle." And I mean, it stymied the whole army. They just drew back. And finally, Jesse sends little old David with a cart up, said, "You take your brothers some supplies up on the front line there." David goes up to the front line, and he sees what his brothers and the others are doing. And then he looks over, and he sees this giant, Goliath. And bear in mind now, look at David a little bit, what God will sometimes let your natural life gain you experience that might come in very handy someday. You know, it might prepare you. What was David's like? Hey, he was out there by himself, just a little feller. And he had lions that would attack his sheep. He took care of his sheep. He found out how to kill a lion. He found out how to protect the weaker. He was a good shepherd. Even though he was just a lad, he was the ideal shepherd, because he really knew from where his blessings came. Now, beloved, this is important to you. Do you know where your blessings come? They come from the Father, not man, not woman. So here we have little old David saying, "Hey, I'll go take care of that bruiser for you." Naturally, this was smirked at and laughed, and finally he talked Saul into it, and Saul tried his armor on him, and man, I mean, it just swallowed him. I don't need it. So he took his slingshot, the weapon he was accustomed to using. You want to always remember that too. When God gives you a gift with something, stick with it. Don't let man talk you into trying to take on someone else's gift. But now all of that is second compared to what came out of the mouth of the babe. All right? So we're going to get right to it. Let's go to verse 42 of that 17th chapter of 1 Samuel. I want you to concentrate on what came out of the mouth of the babe. That's what you were directed to. "And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth," the Nayar, a babe, what we call a babe, "and ready and of a fair countenance." I mean, it infuriated this champion that they would send out some skeeter bump like this, and I say that lovingly. I mean, that's what it looked like to him, just a little old kid, to do battle with him. It was an insult. 43. "And the Philistine said unto David, Am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves?" What are you going to do? Come out here and beat me with a stick? It was an insult. He was a warrior, swords, armor. "And the Philistine cursed David by his God." That'd be Dagon and Balaam, and no telling how many more he could throw in there. Probably had a good arsenal of all kinds of gods. And here you got this lad ready for action. Of course, he was born ready. All right? 44. "Again, watch what comes out of his mouth. And the Philistine said to David, "Come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air, and to the beasts of the field. I'm going to smear you all over this mountainside," basically. That's what he's saying. 45. Then said David to the Philistine, this is what came out of his mouth, and don't you ever forget it. "Thou comest to me with a sword, and with a spear, and with a shield. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied." You made the challenge, buddy boy. Step up to the mark, all right? But what was his weapon? What was his main weapon? The Lord God, the host of Israel. He's in charge. Don't ever forget that. That's how you win your battles. That's how David won his battle. And he continues. Watch what comes from his mouth. 46. "This day will," not maybe, "will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand. And I will smite thee and take thine head from thee. And I will give the carcass of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air, and to the wild beast of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel." That's what came out of his mouth in part. And don't ever forget it. Did David say, "I'm the bully of the woods, big boy, and I'm the sharpest thing you've ever seen with a slingshot. You know, I can shoot 500 yards and hit a hair's breadth." And David didn't say that. He didn't brag himself up. He said, "God's going to give you to me." Seems like we often forget which side our toast is buttered on and by whom. I'm speaking spiritually now, okay? God is in control. He has told us what he would do and what he would not do. If you're familiar with it, claim it. If you meet the criteria. There's usually always a big if there. 47. "And all this assembly shall know," this is the purpose, "what the Lord, that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands." So listen and learn, Israel, from God's word. That's what David was saying. God, you are mincemeat to me. 48. "And it came to pass, when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David," and I'm sure he was speeding up his step about this time, "that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine." 49. "And David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone." We know he stopped in the creek bed and picked up five smooth stones, five being in numerics grace, and that's what he's operating on. "And sang it, and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sank into his forehead, and he fell down, his face to the earth." David put him down, that lad did. Do you agree with that, or do you think God did it? Think about it. God gave him that extra gift. God gave him the accuracy in which to go between the eye and the helmet brow to hit the forehead, to give him the deadly wound, which is symbolic of the seed after this taking down the big boy Lucifer. Just a type. God teaches by types, just like you teach your children using analogies of one thing or the other. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him, but there was no sword in the hand of David. Well, as you know, he will go ahead and take the giant's own sword and behead him. Out of the mouths of babes. What came out of the mouth? God's in control. God's in charge. Is he in charge of your life? Well, I don't know. You do pretty well. And that's your business. So think about it, and hey, when things really get rough, don't turn away from Him. That's when you really need to turn to Him and remember what this babe stated. And be a can-do type person, somebody that can cut it, somebody that can get it done. Why? God's going to protect His own that believe, whomsoever will believe, He will strengthen and pick up. Hey, if you don't, it's no problem. Suffer. That's what will happen. For without our Father in this world in these times with morals decaying in the manner that they are, and they are slipping away. That's why we have babes killing each other. And that's just not a normal thing. It's because we have allowed it. That's one of the reasons. We have allowed it. Now, turn with me to Isaiah. Let's go to one of the great prophets. Again, I want you to remember that Matthew 21:16 and Psalms 8:2 will lead you to that particular verse. Going to Isaiah, let's pick it up in chapter 7. Ahaz, if I remember, was he the 11th or the 16th? I think he was the 11th king of Judah. You see, man always wanted a king he could see, and we had one all the time, our father. Okay, our father should be our king. And Ahaz, being that king of Judah, he was a little bit timid about asking God for signs or anything like that. Pick it up in verse 10. Moreover, the Lord spake again unto Ahaz, I believe he was the 11th king of Israel, saying, ask thee a sign of the Lord thy God. Ask me. Ask it either in the depth or in the height above. You ask it from heaven or you ask it from hell, Sheol, the grave in the Hebrew. 12, but Ahaz said, I will not ask, neither will I tempt the Lord. I mean, it was pretty serious, but the Lord had told him, go ahead, ask. 13, and he said, hear ye now, house of David, and this is the woman's seed, this is why we're here. Is it a small thing for you to worry men, but will you worry my God also? 14, therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. What is it interpreted to? God with us. 14:15. Butter and honey shall he eat, and that he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good. Now, beloved, that's what your life should be about. Butter and honey is the food of a prophet, all right? But you should grow up and choose between good and evil. And do you know something? Choose the evil and see what happens to your family. You're not only hurting yourself. You're hurting your family when you choose the evil. It's going to fall out all around you. There is such a thing as family love, and anytime you hurt, your family hurts. And to worry about a member of your family is a terrible thing. So don't bring that on your family. Always choose good. And wouldn't it be nice if we were all perfect and we didn't even have to talk about things like this? But unfortunately, we're not. 16. For before the child shall know to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land that thou abhorrest shall be forsaken of both her kings. God wanted to be our king. Emmanuel, God with us. And he shall be that king. But there we have that woman's seed promised from Genesis 3:15 that would come forth from the root of Jesse, David. Through whom both when Elizabeth married to Zacharias, who was a Levitical priest of the order of Abiah, which meant that inasmuch as Mary was a cousin to Elizabeth, as it is written, it meant, and with Mary's genealogy being given in Luke 3, we find that Mary's father was of the tribe of Judah, but her mother, inasmuch as she was a cousin to Elizabeth, who was of the daughters of Aaron, then and would have to be full of the Levite tribe, then we see that her sister, the mother of Mary, that we see that this son would be both of Judah and Levi, meaning that the priest and the king line all come together in one. Interesting. What? As we go, it is quite easy to find that this is the time of conception by figuring the Hebrew order of Abia in Luke 13 to know that the conception took place on about December the 25th, not that the birth occurred there. It's real easy, it's real simple to figure out by the Hebrew calendar from the book of Luke. The woman see. Is it not strange? Man thinks he has so much to do with, well, he does, I suppose. But I think maybe because woman basically keeps the nest and fights with her own blood to protect that nest, God knew he could count on her. And that's just my thoughts. Don't ask me to document that, but that is written is written. And that's one of the reasons that so many men discount preachers, I should say, all right, not men normally. But some preachers really down women, you know, because in one place it said, don't let your women chatter in church. Well, men shouldn't chatter in church either, you know. I'll throw either one out if they get too bad about it and don't feel bad about it. You know, that's the wrong place. If we're going to, let's be respectful to our Father if we're studying His Word, all right. So a woman gets a bad rap, but then what's new? I'm chattering like an old hen. You know, why not an old rooster? Roosters make more noise than hens do, but anyway, so be it. I like to keep in good with the lady folk. Right? I know who does the cooking, all right? So anyway, from the woman's seed would come this one, this prophet that would in fact be the Word of God. For do you know something? I'm going to make a statement. He did not speak a word that is not from the Old Testament, having fulfilled it. You ever check that out? Go ahead. You'll find it's very true. Now, I want to pretty well stick to the Old Testament, though I'm running back and forth orally here, but I want to use Scripture for a purpose. That is to show you that we knew that God loved us. Whosoever will, both Israel, Gentiles, male, female, it makes no difference if you believe and love your Father. He is your Father. And okay, we're going to go over to Micah in the Minor Prophets. I like this fifth chapter of Micah. And I like the word Micah because in the Hebrew tongue it says, who is like Yah? There is no one like Yah. That's your Father. Okay, Micah chapter 5 in the Minor Prophets, all right, just a little ways past Daniel there, Obadiah and so forth. Hosea, then Obadiah and so forth. Chapter 5 of Micah, and it reads, now gather thyself in troops, O daughter of troops. He hath laid siege against us. They shall smite the judge of Israel with a rod upon the cheek. But here again he fits this prophecy in, beginning with verse 2. Listen carefully. But thou, Bethlehem, and of course you know this means the house of bread, Ephrathah. Ephrathah means fruitful. That little old town of Bethlehem would produce this one. Though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. How long is that? That's even back in the first earth age. That earth age that God warned that he destroyed in Jeremiah chapter 4 through that great prophet. He said, hey, you get smart with me. I shook this place out once before and destroyed everything. You want to try me? Go ahead and do it again. Okay. And it speaks of that, how we would say in the Greek, dikatabo. So, from of old, ordained, purpose. Don't ever think that God plays guessing games or changes his mind every 5 minutes. He's the same yesterday, he is today, and you can count on it, he will be forever. Therefore will he give them up unto the time that she which travaileth hath brought forth. Then the remnant of his brethren shall return unto the children of Israel. Naturally, we can take this historically or prophetically. It works both ways, and it fits both ways. And it is a beautiful chapter. But here we have the geographical location whereby this would take place. I want to go to one more place. I want to go to Zechariah chapter 9, because there are not very many places from in the Old Testament. Well, I shouldn't say that. There's more, quite a few, but never so abbreviated as you have it in Zechariah chapter 9, that there are two advents of Messiah. And this is important. You will need this. Very important. Zechariah, this is next to the last book. Next to the last book in the Old Testament. And chapter 9, verse 9 speaks of the first advent. It's even quoted. Rejoice greatly, this is Zechariah 9:9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass, and upon a colt of a foal of an ass. That had never been ridden before, quite frankly. I've always had thoughts about that, being an old cowboy, but be that as it may. I guess he could tame anything, anywhere, anyhow. But here he was, and what you read in this is his humble approach at that time. Now, verse 10 is the second advent. He's not coming back as a babe to be crucified. Listen to it, verse 10. And I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall speak peace unto the heathen, and his dominion shall be from sea to sea, and from the river even to the ends of the earth. And I say even past the ends of the earth, for there is but one God. His temple will be built in the third earth age, and he will reign from it. Our Father. You have an inheritance in that. It's wonderful, the woman seed, what would happen, that God would utilize that dear woman. This is the reason that Satan tried to seduce her in the garden. This is why the Nephilim were sent in Genesis 6, to destroy the woman's offspring, to pollute it, whereby this one could not come through that woman. Satan always tries to tear up everything, but God's one step ahead of him, even in your life, if you believe and if you keep that faith, knowing we have one Father, one God, that he's in charge. And he spoke through the mouth of that babe. But you can't make it much simpler than what that babe spoke, as that terrible Goliath stands before him, you know. Children can understand that, certainly we can. that that's what's important. That God, if you're going by His plan, is going to fulfill it exactly that way. Why? It is written. And it shall come to pass exactly in that way. Prophecy never fails. You can take Psalms 22 and the crucifixion, 1,000 years apart, even down to the Roman soldiers gambling for the clothing, what they would be saying, the cloak, what they would be saying, and his last words on the cross in the Hebrew tongue, it is finished. It's amazing how perfect our Father's word is if you take the time to dig into it. Now, through the woman's seed would come Messiah. I could say, did God really need the woman to bring forth Messiah? Of course not. God could have appeared himself if he so chose, but it frightened people, as he did during the bondage in the wilderness when Moses was at Mount Sinai. He could have come back, but the people couldn't handle it. And I suppose if we were to really get right down to it, we would have dimensions and no telling what else involved within this is why people were frightened, because we know that when you pass from this flesh body, you immediately go into a different dimension, but you certainly do not cease being. The book of Daniel is a very interesting book. Christ himself would quote from it in Mark 13. But I want you to open now to the book of Daniel, one of the last prophets before the minor prophets. And he addresses this directly concerning the Messiah and the verse, the very first verse we opened up with. You're going to bruise his heel, but he's going to bruise your head. Now, and this is a prophecy, and I'm not naming dates or anything of that nature. I just want to document the word Messiah. What does the word Messiah mean? All right, it means the anointed. Christos means the anointed, the Savior, of course. Verse 26 of Daniel chapter 9, and this is going to be our last scripture. And it reads in this 26th verse, where the prophecy is being given concerning the very end. This is so much more interesting in the Hebrew, and allow me on the 27th verse to help you just a little bit there if you should need it. Verse 26. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off. I want you to note the uppercase M. We're not talking about some fake here. We're talking about the Messiah. But not for himself and the people of the prince, lowercase, false one, they that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood. And unto the end of the war, desolations are determined. Kind of a war of deception, as many of you are aware. Now let's get into the meat of it. 27. It will explain. And he shall confirm the covenant. Who is the he here? It's that false prince, which is to say, the false Messiah, the spurious Messiah. He shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. Why? Because he will be claiming to be God. And he will cause the oblation or sacrifices to God to be cut off. And of course, as Christians, you have a time it was cut off, be that as it may. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate, even unto the consummation. What does that mean? The end. The consummation of all things. And that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. In the Hebrew, do you know what this word desolate is? The desolator, not a condition, an entity. Who is the desolator? Satan, of course. The same conflict that we started with in the beginning is ended in the end, as it is written in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. Christ died on the cross, whereby he can now kill spiritually Satan, destroy death, and he doesn't have to be grievous about it. It's good riddance. Gone. So, in the Hebrew, this is so much more beautiful. It says that this, the desolator comes in as on the wings of an eagle, bringing abominations and pouring forth, but that in the end it will be poured out upon the desolator. He's going to get his head busted, in other words, spiritually speaking. So there you have the story of the woman's seed. That's reality. Now, a lot of people like to cut them out a little world and just draw themselves back up within and do the best they can in their own little world. But you're one of God's children, and all of people are God's children. God expects us to respect all peoples with dignity, respect their cultures. You know, you'll have some revolving revs that are going to tell you, we're all just alike. Hey, give me a break, all right? That's what causes racial problems. We're not. We're all God's children. But if you say we're all alike, and let's say that in Arkansas, you know, if I go to somebody's house, it is customary that you take your hat off and throw it in the fire and sit on the bed. No, I'm saying customs are different, and you can insult people real easy by not caring and being kind of dumb enough to know that people are different. You know, I can tell by looking. I would think most people could. Does that mean that someone is better than somebody else? God forbid. But don't insult people. Don't belittle people. Don't belittle religions. We have one Father. It's all going to work out. And anyway, that woman's seed, that was special all down through the key. And it comes to the key of David as it is written in the great book of Revelation, chapter 3. You that know who the Kenites are, that give our brother Judah all kinds of trouble, because a lot of people haven't got enough sense, they blame Judah for what the Kenites have done. And that's a bad rap. Bad, bad. And that you have the key of David that opens doors of understanding that no man can close. That was the woman. And it was her child that God spoke through, that he took a small lad from that woman's seed and defeated an entire army with one stone. You know, I might just say in passing, how many stones did he have left? He had four, because he picked up five. Did he think he would need more? Well, always be prepared, naturally. You don't go fight a war half-cocked, all right? But As numerics break down, five is grace, but four is the world. And that's the way you're going to have to cut it in the world, is listening to that babe and knowing that Yahweh, Almighty God, will bless you if you're doing it His way. If you're not, I'm sorry, you may have some rough hoeing for a while. But when you do it His way, He's going to bless you. So, anytime things may seem a little difficult to you and you've got to make a really tough decision in your life, I could only recommend to you that you remember 1 Samuel 17:42. For Christ said, this will answer your problems, for out of the mouth of babes comes wisdom. Now, there are other wisdoms. We all repeat that when we hear little children kind of, you know, have the because of their innocence, they're able to see with more clarity than sometimes people that have been banged around in life a little bit, and mistrust and other things have welled up within us until our vision gets dimmed to the innocence that a child would look at it. Hey, the child would say, ask God and do it. You know, that's it. That's all necessary. So, you know, it's interesting, it's wonderful, and blessed that our Father chose that woman who would be the mother of all living. Why? Because in Him, in that seed, and if you believe upon Him, you have eternal life. If you don't, I'm sorry. That is to say, the Messiah. You don't believe Messiah, you don't hang it on Him, whoever Messiah might be to you, then I'm sorry. Through that woman, that is the mother of all living, because if they don't accept, they're not living really. All right? So, what can be said? Listen to the babes as it was written, and it will solidify your life, whereby you will have that peace of mind, and you'll be able to make those decisions by growing skilled in our Father's Word, whereby you'll be blessed. Even with trouble. You know, even with trouble, if you're familiar with God's Word, He tells you there, and you become a can-do, bring them on, you know. Hey, let's get it on if it's trouble. Fix it. Everything can be fixed. You know, and I'm not speaking of trying to fix it with a court either. I know somebody that probably wished they could have fixed something, but be that as it may. But so I'm through. My mentor told me, when you're through, shut up. It's the best thing to do. So I'm going to say, Father, thank You for Your written Word. Thank You for Your truths, Father. And as we seek those truths, Father, bless these that want to serve You. Watch over. We ask it in Yeshua's precious name. Amen.
Free introductory package. Say, this is something we would like to offer for a one-time gift to all the new folks.